Well, I was going to continue to talk on discipling nations. Was going to. And on William Carey and give you a profile of him in India. But instead, based upon something that I was experiencing the other day, I'm going to ask a few people that I was talking to come on up. And so, Tim, if you can come on up. Robert, if you want to come up as well. Teresa, I guess, has stepped out. But I would like to just ask them some questions. And then I want to be able to ask you some questions as well. So, Tim, tell us what it was like when you first came to Lifetree. What it felt like.
Yep, I'm sure. Never say anything to Bruce privately when he says you should share that. Well, I'm not Canadian. My wife is now. So it's British, so it's interesting coming into a different culture. And it's always interesting to come into a new church. I think I came away the first time thinking perhaps Canadians are a little bit more reserved than the British are, which was a bit of a shock. Although we know people through Rachel and my son David, who live here, there weren't too many people that sort of kind of came up. And coming every week, you sort of feel a lot of people. What I'm saying is it would be lovely. It would have been nicer. I would have felt more welcomed if maybe one or two people that didn't know me had come up and said, hi, I haven't seen you here before, you know, just said hello. That's
he said much more in private that I don't want to tell you, and neither does he. Robert?
And I agree with that young man over there. Don't ever talk to him in private because it'll come out in public. My first impressions of here was one, well, we were looking for a church because we just moved here recently, and we tried a few downtown, and we tried a couple closer here. But years ago, we went to an outreach you had put on at one of the churches in town when you were called Lion of Judah. And I only went there one night, and I was just loved the music. So my wife hated it, actually, but I loved the music. And then we came here, we thought we would come to Lion of Judah. We didn't know that you changed your name. So we came anyway because we met somebody who said it was a great place to be. So we tried the church, and yes, I still love your music, though I had a hard time with it to begin with because we came from a very sedate church up in Bowser. But what I told him that I guess he wants to tell you was that I wasn't sure of the sincerity of the people here. I wasn't used to so much overt enthusiasm, I guess, coming from the people, and I didn't really believe that perhaps you were truly the people who you are. And I guess what he wants me to tell you is that through observation and testing and watching and praying, I came to find that you people are so genuine and so genuine in your love for Christ and for your love for each other and for your reaching out. And my wife and I would like you to reach out some more because we'd like to have some relationships here as well. But I mean, this is a place that we really feel the Lord wants us to be.
Yep. Thank you, Robert. These guys are so gracious when you give them the microphone. The reason that I was asking this, and I want to just even check with you, is part of the dynamic was feeling they were not welcomed or greeted. Others feel like they are so welcomed here and they really belong. So we've had different responses. Some say, I felt like family right away. Others feel like, oh, it's so cliquish. It's hard to break into relationships. Just out of curiosity, first time coming, how many of you felt welcomed? Okay. How many of you did not feel welcome the first time here? Okay. How many of you felt like you belong very quickly? How many of you felt like you didn't belong? How many of you still feel like you don't belong? Okay. I believe it's absolutely essential in order for us to be real, and I don't want to hear just good testimonies and good stories of what a great church we are. How are we going to evaluate how we're doing in loving one another unless we ask the questions, the tough questions? I don't want a facade of we are such a loving community. Because we're Christians, we're known by our love. But it's not real. So for some, they feel so at home. For others, they feel like it's cliquish and I can hardly break into relationships. For some, I'm so welcomed and so loved. And others, I'm invisible. It's really interesting to be able to get a pulse on what's going on so we can have an honest evaluation in every area. And if I was more secure, I would ask you what you thought of my teaching and preaching. Let's do a survey. Let's do a public survey right now. There's been something that's been very interesting going on for me as of late that I want to lead you into this. And as I do, I want to first of all ask you, what was the very first question that God asked man? Where are you? So I want to ask you, or rather than me asking you, ask the person around you, near you, ask them, where are you? Ask them if they're present. Hey, don't get into a long conversation here. I asked you to ask one question. That's it. This is not a counseling or therapy session, okay? Oh, well, it's impossible to reel things in around here once you let it loose. I will say, I used to have a group that we facilitated all on hearing God. But before we started the meeting, what we always did is we did roll call. So it'd be, Callie, are you here? And if not, where are you?
I feel very present.
Anybody have a fight with their spouse on the way to church today? Okay. Anybody have any difficulty with their children either this morning or this week? Okay. Any of you having some unresolved relational problems with family or friends? Whoa! We have a problem. How many of you are feeling the pressure of finances? Health. Anything I haven't named? I will say we are continually in a state of need. There's no place on this planet that we're ever in a place or in a time that there is not a need. And the questions are, what happens in the midst of the needs to us? What's going on? So I will say, it is great to have problems. There's a purpose in the problem in the economy of God. And I want to just give you something that I feel like that I should have known a long time ago, but I feel like I'm either being reminded or I'm getting it in a deeper way. And it's, as Christians, I believe that we're called to live a transcendent life. I believe our God is a transcendent God, that he is both transcendent and he is immanent. It's the very nature of God to be transcendent and immanent. Transcendent is he is far above it all. He is beyond it all. He is outside of time, and he has an objective perspective of everything on this earth. And yet immanent is he's right here. So in Isaiah 57:15, he says, I live in a high and holy place, completely transcendent, far above it all, and yet I am near the humble, the lowly, the contrite, the broken, to revive them. And I want to say this. When we experience the immanence of God, who is the ever-present help in our time of need, as soon as you become present and he says, where are you? And you respond and we come out of the hiding place that we're in, whatever the circumstance, whatever the mindset, whatever the emotions, whatever it is that's going on in our world, and we start becoming real, he starts becoming present. When we start becoming present, as Adam and Eve came out of the hiding, God clothed them and he covered them and he provided for them. He wants to provide for us. But it's coming out of our hiding places. It's coming into the light. And I want to share just with you briefly of what that process actually looks like. And I want to say the majority of it rarely ever is personal. I think this it's a dangerous concept to have a personal relationship with God. You wonder, what's he talking about now? Where is this guy leading us theologically? When I say a personal relationship with God, is there such an emphasis on it that we wind up forgetting or not seeing the rest of Scripture in the way that we need to, that we're not only baptized into Christ, we're baptized into the body of Christ. And when it says we have the mind of Christ, it's corporate. 1 Peter 5:5 says, clothe yourself in humility, one towards another. Right after it says, clothe yourself in humility, one towards another, for God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. How do we do that? By clothing ourselves in humility, one towards another. That's how we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. We're to confess our faults, not just to God, but to one another. So it's the confession to one another. It's clothing ourselves in humility one towards another. It's the dynamic of loving one another. It's also, it's interesting, 1 John 1:5-7. It says, God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. And it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Look at the progression of this. So how do we get the cleansing blood of Jesus? Through fellowship with one another. That's where we experience the blood of Jesus, the cleansing, the nutrients of life that the blood carries is through the members of the body being connected one to another. But that can only happen. We only experience fellowship when we're in the light. That's when we're transparent with each other. When we're being real. When we're being honest. When we're in truth and in love. Then we have fellowship. With one another, but of also him. You see, it says God is love. He who lives in love lives in God and God lives in him. Well, how does that happen? It happens when we clothe ourselves in humility one towards another. It happens when we walk in the light with one another. All of a sudden, when we start doing this, of loving one another by being in the light with each other, clothing ourselves in humility one with another, saying, I'm weak, I'm broken, I'm struggling, I need help. And we're honest and we're real. What happens is, I will say, when you do that, he who lives in a high and holy place comes near the humble and the lowly and the contrite. And I will say, I really do believe internal processing. I used to think it doesn't work well. Now I'm convinced it's damaging. Internal processing is destructive. You do not have the ability, the wisdom, or the resources to not only answer the questions that you're asking, but solve the problems that you're having. And you're not designed to operate this way. We're designed to be 100% dependent upon God. And there's times we can, like David, strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God by what he has said. But there's other times, like Aaron and Hur, who had to hold up Moses' arms. or the four friends that had to carry their friend into the presence of Jesus because he was paralyzed. Often we cannot get there on our own, and by God's design, it's this experiencing of his presence. But I will say 90% of the grace that you need, just like 10% of your body is your head, and the rest of it is there's a whole lot more mass there. 90% of the grace you're going to experience of God is going to come in your relationships with one another through your interdependence. That's the way it comes. And as soon as we start getting real, this is what's going on in my world. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. What happens is the imminent presence of God is drawn to you through the confession, through the humility, through the truth. Those that call upon me in truth, I will deliver. It's really easy being truthful and honest with God. It's much harder being truthful and honest with each other. It is, isn't it? What are they going to think of me if they know this is the sin I'm struggling with? What are they going to think of me if they know that this is the weakness that I have? Tell you, I feel like in so many areas of my life as of late, I started what's called Transform Victoria. And we have Children Arise, which launched as well. And then there's Life Tree. I feel like I'm at the point of each one. And I can totally understand Paul. It's 2 Corinthians 11, I believe. He says, you know what? Five times I was beaten 40 lashes minus one. Three times with rods. Three times shipwrecked. And he goes through all this stuff. And besides all of this, I have the constant care of all the churches. And he's overwhelmed. I feel like I've been so overwhelmed that I don't know that I'm functioning well anymore. I feel like I'm short-circuiting. I feel like everything's breaking down on the inside of me. The crazy thing is this. The more I, in one sense, confess it, my insecurity, my feeling inadequate, my feeling inferior, the more that I do this, and not between me and God, between me and the people that are around me, and saying this is where I'm at, it's nuts what starts to happen. All of a sudden, God starts coming in. All of a sudden, when I become present, I experience his presence. The psalmist, Psalm 73, he's looking at all the problems in the world. And in the Message version, in Psalm 73, 16 and 17, he says, when I tried to figure it out, the whole thing gave me a splitting headache. Until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, and I saw the whole picture. I saw the beginning from the end. When you're in the midst of a forest, it's hard finding your way. But if a helicopter lifts you out, you go, man, I could have just went a few feet that way and up this path here. And there was a road right there. There was a campsite right there. I tell you, what happens is it's progressive. Whether we clothe ourselves in humility one towards another, for God resists the proud. Those are those that don't clothe themselves in humility. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and in due time he will lift you up. Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. What I've been seeing is this picture of thermals. The way birds, eagles, hawks, they catch them and they just rise higher and higher and higher. In due time, him lifting us up, it's when we humble ourselves in his sight by clothing ourselves in humility one towards another, by being walking in the light of transparent and real with each other. What happens is by doing that, humility attracts his presence. Walking in the light attracts his presence. Loving one another attracts his presence. And his presence starts coming. When we're doing that, we actually are creating a thermal. And that we can like, whether it be a bird or a sailplane. The sailplanes, the guys that fly them, they learn when they hit a thermal, the wing all of a sudden goes up. And then they lean into it. And as they lean into it, they ascend. And they ascend effortlessly. No propeller, no motor, nothing. And it just rises higher and higher and higher. And so sometimes they'll see birds in the distance that are rising higher, and they'll go, there's a thermal over there. Other times they look to the ground and they say, there's fallow ground that's been plowed. When the sun hits that, there's going to be thermals around there. So they're looking for things. And I feel like when the ground of our heart is plowed up, I shouldn't say fallow ground, that's unplowed ground. When they see plowed fields, plowed ground, they know there's going to be a thermal probably there. And I believe that when we see people who are plowing up the ground of their hearts when it's been hard, by clothing themselves in humility, by walking in the light with one another, you're creating a thermal that whatever your problems are, whether it's health and needing surgery like Andrew does, which we're believing healing for, whether it's different relational problems that I get the privilege of hearing every once in a while. And I say it's a privilege because one of the greatest gifts for me is people trusting me with what's going on in their world. And if you're thinking, oh, he's so busy. Bruce is so busy. You know, Jason's so busy. Caleb's so busy. You know what? One of the greatest things that we give one another is the trust. And not only inviting each other into our journey of our success stories, but when we're going through it. That trust is awesome. And I'll say when you do, the love of God, the light of God, you actually can create a thermal where you experience the imminent presence of God, the ever-present help in time of need. And then you transcend, and it's crazy. Just even yesterday, in a meeting, I'm sharing just my burden, and I feel like all of a sudden, as I'm sharing my brokenness, as I'm sharing my struggle, all of a sudden, I'm getting peace of God coming. There's a stillness in my heart. All of a sudden, wisdom and revelation of what the next steps are, of what I should do, start happening. And everything that I needed is now being experienced in His presence, but it's needing to get into His presence. And sometimes I can get there on my own, but most of the time, I can't. I need people. And I start sharing, and they not in a pat answer way, but start speaking the truth in love to me. They start praying what His heart is. All of a sudden, His presence comes in, and all of a sudden, what I couldn't see as an answer, and I'm overwhelmed by everything, there's a peace of God that transcends all understanding, where He says, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:4-7. Be anxious for nothing. But with prayer and thanksgiving, let every single request and need that you have be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding. It's beyond having the answers for the questions. It transcends your understanding. It's going to guard your heart and your mind. And all of a sudden, you've just created a thermal. And you're able to, if you lean into that thermal, you can start rising above it. And all of a sudden, now you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And you're seeing the whole situation from His perspective. Now you're getting insight. Now you're getting wisdom. Now you're getting revelation because you've now become objective. Because you've transcended what's going on. And our call, all this is in simplicity, is living by faith. Living by faith and living in the Spirit are synonymous. They're the same thing. Sometimes getting into faith, we need one another by clothing ourselves in humility, by walking in the light, by being truthful. And when we are, all of a sudden, we transcend, and now everything, we have an objective perspective. Not only objective, we have His perspective. And we are beyond the circumstance of the situation. We're no longer held by it. Because now, we're not only just in by Scripture seated in heavenly places, and you can quote it, you're now experiencing it. You're above it. You're connected with the transcendent God, because you've transcended, but you've learned how. So with that, now, you may get into some deep things, and you may have to set up a time to get together for either a coffee or a meal and get together longer. But I want you to take five, six minutes, maybe 10, and just get into a group and just, you know what? You may only trust them in a minimal amount of weight, you know, a limited amount. And so you're not going to maybe go very deep. But it's the dynamic of the exercise of finding people that you can be real with. Most people we can share most stuff with, but they'll say, there may be some serious stuff. You go, oh, I need to find the right people. If you go, there's nobody I can trust, you're in serious danger. And if you go, everybody I can trust, you're not being very wise. But we can share at a certain level, or you can find some people that you share with, but I want us to take 5 minutes and say, this is what's going on in my life. And I want you to just listen to each other and then pray for each other. Or speak whatever you believe God's heart is. But I say, if you learn this, that I believe that we can all live the transcendent life in Jesus, in the Spirit that we are called to. So go ahead. Let's take 5, 6 minutes. Clothe yourself in humility, one towards another. Walk in the light with one another.